Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're talking about housing needs in manufacturing corridors. Yesterday, I attended a meeting involving politicians and city staff from five different communities along the St. Lawrence River Seaway. Many of these communities have experienced a resurgence in manufacturing as North American companies have expanded domestic manufacturing capacity. During the pandemic, these communities experienced a huge influx of population from people seeking a lower density lifestyle with incredible outdoor amenities and still wanting to remain within an hour or 90 minutes of a major city. The problem is that many of these communities are experiencing a severe shortage of housing. That's a combination of new housing, affordable housing, or merely available housing at any price. Several themes stood out from the conversations involving politicians, city staff, and major employers. The employers are struggling to attract new workers because of the lack of available housing, so instead they're just poaching from each other instead of growing the pool of employees. One of the representatives emphasized that the lack of available daycare was preventing many single mothers from returning to the workforce in the post-pandemic environment. Another spoke of the need for hospitals in the area to hire an additional 300 workers over the next couple of years to fulfill the healthcare mandate at the hospital. Many have resorted to traveling nurses to deal with the shortage of nurses, and even the traveling nurses are having a hard time finding accommodations. Many are staying in hotels. It was interesting to hear the mayors of several of these communities speak to the acute housing needs in their own communities. They expressed a willingness to expedite the rezoning process to enable development and construction of new multifamily affordable housing. There's also a strong need for rental housing specifically for aging empty nesters who do not wish to leave the community but no longer desire to mow the grass on a one-acre property or clear the snow on a laneway that might be a few hundred feet in length. Downsizing into a smaller apartment will open up the opportunity for detached single-family homes to be occupied by younger families. Some of these opportunities would naturally be overlooked by the majority of developers. Many developers simply don't want to look at tertiary markets. And traditionally, that would have included us as well. Now, we've not made any decisions whether it makes sense to invest in these communities, but it's clear that the economic value proposition is different from a major center. It's also clear the conditions have changed. These are communities where the cost of development land is extremely attractive. In many cases, land can be basically purchased at something approaching the value of agricultural land. These communities don't have any development charges or impact fees, which further reduces the cost of bringing new product to market. In a major center, you often need to see rents north of $3 a square foot, and in some cases $3.50 a square foot, in order to make the numbers work. But in these smaller communities, rents of about $2.25 a square foot are easily achievable for newly designed, well-amenitized product. The other problem with developing in smaller communities is the cost of infrastructure like water and sewer. Bringing that to a new multifamily development project can be very costly. The meeting with all of these mayors and city planning officials was hosted by a company that manufactures modular municipal-grade drinking water treatment plants and municipal-grade modular sewage treatment plants. These modular systems are built in a factory environment and packaged into standard-sized shipping containers, which are then transported to the final location where they're reassembled to form the treatment plants that could be small for 30 houses or larger ones for 300 or even 3,000 homes, depending on size and requirements. From a development standpoint, these modular treatment plants are clearly more expensive than a gravity-fed sewer pipe connecting into the existing sewer system. But if that isn't available, there's no alternative. Even a captive sewage treatment plant is going to be less expensive when you factor in the lower cost of the land. If the existing municipal-grade system is a long distance away, there's no way economically to build a project. These modular systems are game-changing. They make the development of workforce housing near the manufacturing plant or near a rural hospital economically feasible. These types of developments are attractive for city government because they expand the tax base without bringing a lot of additional cost or enforcing major expansion in the city infrastructure. With the lower cost of land and the lower cost of labor, combined with the lack of development impact fees, all of those things combined might not be enough to make the numbers economically viable. So what else can the communities and the employers do that will stimulate the creation of affordable housing where it would appear to be desperately needed? Well, the discussion centered around several avenues of creative structuring. Number one, there's tax incentives that offer 5 and 10 year property tax abatements in exchange for developing in a zone where economic development's needed. Number two, it's merely fast-tracking the development process, eliminating the red tape and bureaucracy to get something built. And number three, there's discussion about master lease agreements with the employers. If employers are willing to guarantee the rents for a certain percentage of the project, that could improve the viability of the project by getting better lending terms from the lender. And number four, it's possible that a manufacturing plant who have spent hundreds of millions of dollars in the manufacturing plant would see an advantage in being a minority investor in a multifamily apartment project in order to secure the supply for housing for their employees. A combination of one or more of these initiatives can take a project from being marginal to one that actually works on paper and works in reality. There's lots of talk about economic downturn and risk in the current environment. In spite of that, there seems to be an acute need and a viable economic value proposition for building new workforce housing in these manufacturing-centered communities. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.